Okay, can this gonna work? Let's get up here where a real man can get a hold of it, amen. All right. Glad you come tonight. See what I can do about that. Open your Bibles somewhere. Let me see where I was reading. I believe it's Matthew. That's in the Bible, isn't it? I believe that's the first book in the New Testament. Everybody agree? All right, I got a good audience tonight. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. I'm trying to get this voice to get right here. And we're going to start in verse 23 and just read about three or four verses. Matthew chapter 23. This has a lot of verses to it in context here. The Lord Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees and describing for them what they really are in their hypocrisy. And we pick it up here in verse 23 of chapter 23. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin." Now you understand what that is. That's a small spices. That's the black pepper and the salt shaker and all that. And they're being so precise that they're measuring out everything they have to give the tenth of it. Now, he don't condemn them for that. Notice what he says here. He says to them, you do this. You pay tithe of the mint and anise and cumin. You don't miss a penny. "And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done," but now watch the next statement, "and not leave the other undone." The tithing was right. The tithing was commanded for them. But while they were being so precise about that, they were missing the big things. They were straining, he says later, at a gnat and swallowing a camel. And a lot of folks are good at that. He says, "You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanliness." I guess you got the word here, whited sepulchres. How many of you watched the State of the Union speech last night? Quite a few of you. When I saw all those women dressed in white in sympathy with Nancy, I thought of these white as sepulchers. Just come natural to me. Amen. They couldn't applaud anything, including condemning genocide. Killing the baby after it's out of the mother's body, make it comfortable, then decide whether you want it to live or not. God's judgment is just, I don't see how I can withhold it. I really don't. I mean, that is how bad it was. And of course, Nancy, if I was the president, I'd want a bodyguard between me and her. Every now and then she'd get up and fool with some papers. And the only thing I could figure was, and I was hoping she was going to finally find her broom and fly off. She never found it. What a joke. What a sad joke. And then there was Mr. Ratface Chuck Schumer. He reminded me, years ago, my brother and I were in the pest control business, and we'd order rat poison by the drumful. I'm not kidding you. And there was a big cartoon-like picture on the front of that drum, that big carton, and it was a rat. And he was eating the stuff, and he had this guilty grin on his face, and the caption under it said, "Yeah, I know it's killing me, but it's so good." And every time I saw the camera go over there and pick up Chuck's picture, I thought of that rat. So I don't like that. The doors are open. We don't lock them after you get in here. You can just be gone just as quick as you come in. I'm getting so sick and tired of the hypocrisy that's going on right now. And Richard's not leaving, I don't think. He may be, but picked a bad time to get up and leave, buddy. All right, it's just us home folks tonight, so we have a lot of fun. Let me talk to you a little bit on the subject I just introduced to you, and that's hypocrisy. Sadly, sometimes it's seen among professing Christians, isn't it? And Jesus hates it. Yeah, it's condemned in the Word of God, real big. Say, what is it? Well, it's fakery. It's being deceptive. It's professing one thing and doing another. It's a double standard, worse than that even. That's what it means. The person is a fake, they're a liar, they're deceptive. And Paul speaks to that over in Romans chapter 2. He says, thou that preachest that you shouldn't steal, dost thou steal? That's hypocrisy, see? And that's so wrong. It's just absolutely wrong. And parents and staff members and Sunday school teachers and day school teachers, don't kid yourself. Kids are smarter than you think. And if they hear you doing, saying one thing and doing another, you're really washing out with them. You're really blowing it. And they pick up on more than you think they do. And I know we all have to fight the flesh and we all make mistakes, but you ought to try to fight to be honest. And what you say, you ought to do it. You ought to live that way. Too many parents, and my wife and I have been parents, grandparents now, but you'll never get by with saying, do as I say instead of the way I do. They'll always come around doing what you do. That's the way it'll work every time. And we got to watch out. We got to watch out for that. Now, our nation is a mess from this very thing of hypocrisy. Boy, is it a mess today. The fakery of it. I see now where they're going to investigate the inaugural committee that raised some money. There's never been a man more investigated and more mistreated than this one. We didn't know how bad the swamp was until after this election. Really didn't. And the more it goes, the more I see why God may have put the president in. He might have wanted to fight fire with fire. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't take what that guy has been taking. The false accusations and all that's been going on. And I've said it and preached it, and I'm going to get off of it here in a minute, so some of you just let your breath out and relax. The truth is, if God's not in it, he's not going to make it. There's too many great forces of evil against him. I hope God is in it for the sake of our nation and for our grandkids and so forth. But the hypocrisy up there is really something else. We've got two sets of laws, set of laws for this crowd and another set for this crowd. And that's hypocrisy all big time within itself. That's what it really amounts to. And it's going on big time. If you want to look at a verse, look over in James chapter 3, I believe I want to go to, and pick it up in verse 17 and see the comparison here. James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. Boy, think on that one. Without partiality, and without what? Hypocrisy. If it's from God, it's not going to be hypocritical. He is not going to be partial. He's going to be fair. He's going to treat things right. And yet we're seeing just the opposite of that in what's supposed to be our leadership. And it's just, it really is sad. Now, here's the thing. We got to be careful that folks don't call us. We talk about fake news today, and boy, it's out there. But let's not be fake Christians. That's what hypocrisy is. And the outside world accuses God's people of being hypocrites. Now, while we recognize they're dead wrong, and we know a few little cliches concerning like that, that if you don't want to go to church with hypocrites here, you're going to go to hell with them hereafter. And a whole lot of truth to that. And if a hypocrite keeps you from church, then he's ahead of you because he's standing in front of you. We know all those kind of silly things. But the truth is the world uses that against us. And it ought to help us to want to try real hard to be genuine, to be pure, to be right, and to profess whatever we profess, we are to live up to it. Now, if you're a Christian, there's some things the world expects of you. Whether you want to do them or not, the world expects them. They expect you to be separated. Separated from the very things they enjoy and do. They ain't going to think much of you if they know you drink. They're not even going to appreciate that most of them are going to judge you pretty heavy if you smoke. And they're certainly going to judge you if you're doped out of your head. And by the way, this thing with marijuana is going to turn out to be worse than alcohol. See, alcohol is legal, and now they're making marijuana legal, but it don't make it right. And all the troubles that come from drunks on the road and everything else is now going to double and increase with this stupid thing with marijuana. And I tell you what else. Let me see if I got a stat back here in my mind. I'll get close to it. In New York, it's called the Hudson Institute, I believe. It's a big gray sort of hospital-like looking building, but it looks more like a prison. It's got barbed wire around it so the patients or the inmates can't escape. And their stats they put out is for the criminal insane, not just the insane, but those that have committed and will commit criminal acts if they are free to do so. And that Hudson Institute put out some stats, and I was reading them somewhere the last couple of weeks on it. And the stats go something like this. Most of their so-called criminal patients are and have been and addicted to marijuana. And in that committing criminal acts, a lot of murderers in there, a lot of murder people. They're in there. They didn't go to the chair or they didn't go to life's prison. They went there because they were judged mentally incompetent, but criminally so. And they were saying out of 300, I'll call them inmates, out of 300, there was some of them in there that not only murdered people, but they were cannibals trying to eat them. And the doctors in the institute were saying marijuana was behind it. And it was saying that almost every time you find this far out stuff, it's somebody that's been addicted to marijuana for a long time. The hypocrisy of making something like that legal is ridiculous. We done it right here in Florida. And the big attorney, Morgan and Morgan, you know, I pushed the whole thing. And I'm a little disappointed with our new governor getting in because he seems to be going right along with making it easy on them to get all the dispensaries out there and sell the stuff. I'm certainly not pleased with that. The truth is, somebody says, well, we'll make money off the taxes. You will spend more getting folks well and putting them in jail than you'll ever, ever, the state will ever make off a tax, off of alcohol or marijuana or any of that junk. That's hypocrisy I'm talking to you about also. But if you're saved, the world's going to expect you to be doing what Christ would do and not doing the things he wouldn't do. Even though they participate in it, they won't say it's wrong for you to, and they know that. That's just kind of inbred. That's just kind of a given, if you please. That's for sure. And so when a preacher or somebody preaches you ought to be separated from the world, you ought to say amen. And you ought to fight that and try that. And if you don't, adults, you're going to lose your kids in the long run to it. I guarantee you the fight's harder for them. There's things you ought to do. You ought to support the local church. I believe every ministry ought to be under the local church. There's some parachurch ministries that do well, but they do better under the church. Jesus started the church. He didn't start General Motors. He didn't start some of these para-ministries that do some good. It could all be done under the authority of his church, and there'd be a check and balance, because liberalism, worldliness, everything that Christ condemns enters in when you get out from under the umbrella of the local church. The tithe ought to go to the local church. It doesn't go down to some other ministry. It might be a good ministry. You might be feeding some poor children, but you'll know where it goes when it goes in your local church, and you don't know where it's going when you go to some of the... Listen, I've known some cases where they made some beautiful pictures on the mission field, and it was all a lie. Picture a crowd, and I was over in the Philippines and had some of the preachers tell me this. Crowd came over there making pictures of big groups and putting it back into the States to churches to support them because they were reaching this. No, they were not. They were taking pictures of other people's crowds and sending it back. Brother Scotty in the mission, helps missions back there. He knows what I'm talking about. Big deal. That's one reason we're in so strong with Helps Ministries, because we know what they're checking on, the checks and balances. That's so important. And the hypocrisy of some of this stuff, as a Christian, you ought to be wise. The ministry, if it's not on the church, you better check it out. And even if it's a good one, your tithe don't go there. It goes to the local church. And you ought to give a tithe, and you ought to give above a tithe. If you believe in the cause of the church that you're in, let's use ourselves as an example. You believe in what we're doing? You believe that we're getting the job done? We're spending money on buses. We're spending money on Christian day schools. We're spending money on every ministry we've got, including the mission gauge up there that we... Listen, you believe in that? You know about it, don't you? Then that ought to be your priority. It ought not be something else. And I know around here, when I hire folks, I cover this thing about being, I tell them the church is everything. We are a church that has a bunch of ministries. We're not ministries that has a church. There's a difference. There's a difference. And I'm going to always keep it that way. I'm always going to keep things lined up right, not let the cart get ahead of the horse. And when I hire people, I talk to them about their Christianity first. What kind of Christian are you? Because you won't make it here if you're not a good one. If you're just going to fake me out some, and I have had some folks do that, if you're going to fake me out some, sooner or later, you'll get caught. Sooner or later. Because God knows about it all the time. I had a fellow on staff here. It's been quite a while, I reckon. He couldn't hardly get him in church. And he didn't think I caught him, but I did. I already knew. Something about the Holy Spirit, he lets you know things. Sometimes you just sense them. And I'd already had that feeling. One Sunday morning, it was in the summertime, and the crowd was down enough I could look through the building and see who didn't shave that morning and what color lipstick they had on or whatever. I mean, it's one of them mornings you could see everybody. I'm joking with you now, but it was a thinner crowd. And the Holy Spirit just kind of laid on my heart, where is so-and-so? And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I said, he's not here. And I'd already given them a little warning before that. So I'm doing old shaking hands like I sometimes, most of the time do. I got through preaching. I went back there doing what I'm shaking hands. All of a sudden, he appeared to shake my hand. He had come in that door, knew what time of day it was, come out, shake my hand to con me. He was a hypocrite. That's what he was. That's what he was. And that's a terrible thing to be. It really is, especially when you're doing it in the service of the Lord. Trying to fool somebody that way. You can learn to say the right things in church. You can learn to sing Amazing Grace. You can learn to say brother or sister. You can do all of that business. And you can fool a lot of people, and you can fool a preacher. But you never fool God. And Jesus was condemning the religious crowd here, the Pharisees. That's who he was condemning. It wasn't the publicans down there. It wasn't the ones that had leprosy on the road out there. He was talking about the elite crowd. Look what names he called them. I mean, you follow it on through. He told them, you're like a whited sepulcher. It's white and pretty on the outside. If you lift the lid, it stinks. It's full of dead men's bones. That's the way God really sees it. So it's an awful, awful sin. It really, really is. And in the context, if you look at it close here, it has to do with a heart matter. The text is in dealing with the inside. If the inside's not right, the outside can be faked up and painted up and whited up. But sooner or later, it'll show up that it's wrong too. You know, we have this old thing, well, God looks on the heart. Yes, he does. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Before a man reaches out with his hand and steals and becomes a thief, he's a thief in his heart. He had to give that hand permission to do that. Before he tells a lie with his lips, he's a liar in his heart. And so the Lord is telling the Pharisee here, get the inside right and the outside will fall in place. And that's exactly the way it works with all of us. If we serve God because we got a right motive, right attitude, coming from our heart, it'll sure make a lot of difference. If we're trying to fake it up, it'll catch you sooner or later. I've told you my testimony before I got saved. I worked with a rough crew of men, and I was about as dirty-mouthed as the rest of them. All of us were. There was one boy that was saved on that crew. I'm thinking back now. He was a great big fella. He was bigger than the rest of us. And he was saved, and he didn't mind telling you. And because he was so big, the rest of the guys didn't mouth off to his face much, because they was afraid he'd backslide and beat the devil out of him. So he didn't. But you know what? He was kind of lonely because nobody wanted to fellowship around him. He didn't want to listen to the dirty jokes. He didn't want to cuss with the rest of us. And so he was kind of isolated. He really was. And so behind his back, everybody joked about him. Oh, there goes holier than thou. Truthfully, he wasn't a hypocrite. He was living pretty good Christian life. I know that now, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it then. But you know what? When you get the inside right. Now, when I got saved, then I wound up in his corner. When I got saved, I'm the guy that got lonely again. I'm the guy that knew they were joking behind my back and all of that. But I'll tell you what, I wanted them to know something had happened to me. And though I couldn't give them the Romans road, couldn't tell them much, I wanted them to know that Jesus lived inside and I wasn't going to drink with them. I wasn't going to cuss with them. I wasn't going to listen to the dirty jokes with them again. Had to be a difference. And I believe that I was able to do that by the grace of God. But they're going to watch for that. And if the inside can get fixed, it'll take care of the outside. And the outside can be faked, But when the inside is wrong, sooner or later it's going to break through to the outside. You'll hear sometime in race car circles, you'll hear somebody talking about somebody that when the going gets tough, they come through. One of the statements was something like this. Well, when it really gets down to it, the cream will come to the top. Now, what he was saying about that was so-and-so will suck it up. He'll do the extra, and he'll probably be very close to the winner's circle. The cream's going to come to the top. If I were to turn that around a little bit, I want to say the corruption will come to the top sometime, too. A guy can fake it so long, but it'll get him. And I was driving my race car, and in that cussing group of men, I was still living at home. I didn't leave home till I got saved and got married at 22 years old. Now, I was not a freeloader. I was bringing my paychecks in and giving them to Mama. And she was buying groceries and paying the mortgage and other things. I'll guarantee you, young people, I want you to know that. That's what I did. But because I was around that cussing group, dirty talking group, before I got saved, I talked like they did. But I didn't go home and talk like that around my family, around mother. So I was faking it. See, I was one guy out there, and I was another one home. But you know what happened to time or two? The guy that was out there showed up in front of Mama. And I slipped up and said things I was embarrassed about. I'd never done that before, but see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking, it'll overflow. It'll just overflow. You try to keep up, but it overflowed anyhow. Now, thank God when I got saved, I had a helper come in and help me change all that, the Holy Spirit of God. But the inside's going to work to the outside. It really is. And the outside can be fake for a while, but not too long. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. And I'll tell you, folks, let's be careful, because what I'm talking to you about, not much fun, but hypocrisy does more harm to the cause of Christ than most anything else. Most anything else. If we're not careful, the devil will use that. Because we're in a battle with the flesh. We're in a battle with the old nature. And we got the two natures, because the good nature come in, the Holy Spirit come in. There's going to be a battle. I've every preacher's told this story, and it makes sense. Told a story originally when I heard it. An old Indian got saved, and some of the folks was questioning him. Ask him about what happened when he got saved. And he said, well, he said, the struggle, the fight. And they said, well, you mean the flesh and the spirit? And he said, it's like two dogs. A white dog and a red dog. And they're always fighting. Well, that's what it is. If you're saved, you got two natures. As long as you're in this flesh, there's going to be a fight. So he said, two dogs, white dog, red dog fight. They said, well, which one wins? He said, the one I feed the most. And that's exactly the way it is with us. I'm feeding the right side. I'm in God's house. I'm feeding the right side. I'm in God's book. I'm feeding the right side. I'm among God's people. There's some places I could be tonight that would be feeding the wrong side. Whichever side you feed is going to be the strongest. Now you say, well, I don't go to the bar. How about, what do you watch on the computer? What kind of pictures you hooked on? Which side you feeding? Well, nobody else sees it. Oh, yeah, but God does. And if you're putting corruption on the inside, sooner or later it's going to burst out. It's going to rise to the top. I guarantee it is. And that's where the danger to the cause of Christ comes. Proverbs 11:9 says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. The truth is, if you mouthing one thing and doing another, you're doing a pile of damage. A whole lot of damage. And Say, nobody knows. God does, and you do, and sooner or later, most folks will know. That's always the way it works. Always the way it works. And certainly your kids will be among the first to see the hypocrisy. Many of you heard the story, and I think it really happened because it's been a long years ago. Police came to a real nice house one night late, woke the mom and dad up. Fairly wealthy family in the town, prestigious family. And the police called the man's name and said, "We're sorry to tell you, but there was a terrible wreck out on Highway so-and-so. And your daughter was in a car and there was drinking and she's been killed." Well, of course, with all the anguish, finally the dad kind of went into a rage and he said, "Whoever gave those kids drink, I'll find them and I'll get them." Soothe his nerves, he went on back to his liquor cabinet and opened the door, pulled out a bottle, and there was a note. And the note said, "Daddy, please excuse us. It was late and we couldn't get a bottle anywhere else, and we borrowed one of yours." Think on that a bit. Think on that a bit. Being a hypocrite catches up. It catches up. It's an awful, awful thing. Let me challenge you tonight. Say, what do we need that for on Wednesday night? Maybe just for insurance. Or maybe if you're slipping in one of these areas, it's time to put the brakes on and turn around and get right while there's an opportunity. Amen. Father, may you add your blessing now to the scriptures. There's something common here, Lord, and yet it's a big thing. It's something the devil uses right and left. Help us to be real, Lord, not fakers, not pretenders, but to be honest with you and true with you. Thank you for the Bible that'll keep us clean and straight if we'll obey it. May you bless now as the choir gets ready for Sunday. Give us a good Sunday and a good visitation tomorrow night. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.